Good morning again, everyone. Just before we begin, Rocky, if you ever pray out a heresy like that again, you'll be taken out and burned at the stake. Jesus laid his sins at the foot of the cross. That's a different Jesus than the one we know, Rocky. I'm only joking. We all make mistakes in prayer. My two famous mistakes in prayer were, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that there's no one in all heaven and earth greater than you, except for me. And the other one has just slipped my mind, thankfully. but it'll come back to me at some point. So we can make mistakes, Rocky, but the next time you will be burned at the stake. Let's just pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning that we can come, Lord God, with a real joy in our hearts to meet with you, Lord God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, coming, Lord, to hear from you, to worship you, just to enjoy being in your presence. We forget, Lord God, that second part of the Westminster Shorter Catechism that says man's chief end is to glorify God. But it says, and to enjoy him forever, Lord God. And it's wonderful to be here as brothers and sisters in Christ, enjoying your presence, enjoying fellowship together. And may you, Lord God, help us to continue in that enjoyment, Lord God, as we receive from your word this morning, please. Speak to us through it. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're focusing our attention, as you know, on the Bible teaching on the return of Jesus. And in Shiloh's statement of faith, we declare that we believe and we expect from all members of Shiloh and adherents. Now, as you know, there are no members of Shiloh at the moment, but that will change this year as the deacons and myself met, and we're going to be moving towards membership. But one of the questions you will be asked is, do you agree with this statement of faith? And if you do not agree with it, you will not, under any circumstances, become a member of Shiloh. I don't care what ifs, buts, or ahs you come up with. If you don't agree with it, you will not be a member. Now, you can argue and debate issues around it, like the second coming. You can argue all around what way you think that's going to unfold, but you have to agree with the second coming. So anything in our statement of faith, we have, as it says in it, we expect from all members of Shiloh an adherence to the following doctrine of faith, and it's all the way down, and now we're on his second coming. So the actual physical return of Jesus isn't up for debate as far as membership is concerned. Do you understand? Why I'm making that clear is because the church today cherry picks the Bible and cherry picks what they like and what they don't like, and they will set aside things. So you'll have head bins like that actor, McKellen or whatever you call him, who run about ripping out pages of the Bible that says anything to do with homosexuality. It's all a load of nonsense, rip out that page. And you know what? The church is nearly as bad because it's saying, oh, we'll rip out all those pages to do with the gifts of the Holy Spirit because that was for the days of the apostle. Oh, rip out this nonsense about the return of Jesus because sure, that's been 2,000 years that we've been waiting on that, never going to happen. We're saying in Shiloh, we believe God's word. And we believe that in the word of God it says that there will be an actual physical return of Jesus, and therefore it is not up for debate. Put it simply again, if anyone doesn't believe in the actual physical return of Jesus, they can't be members of Shiloh. It's an emotive subject. It's too vast to cover in this short series, and therefore at this time we're only going to be skirting over the basic fundamentals of this really important truth. And last week our emphasis was on whether we're living in the last days, and if so, when did they start? And we can debate how and when the return of Jesus might happen. The Greek word for this is the parousia or the parousia, and it means the presence, it means the arrival or the official visit. So, you know, if Her Majesty the Queen was to suddenly say she was coming to Shiloh, there would be a parousia, there would be an official visit as she comes, and when she arrives, you know, her presence is with us. And the unfurling of the last days, you're going to hear these, this is Christianese for those who don't understand. This is Christianese. Parousia means the presence, the arrival, or the official visit, the second coming. And the unfurling or the unfolding of last days events, and Billy read from Daniel, a lot of that is seen in Daniel. The unfurling of the last days events that lead up to the second coming are known as eschatology. Big flashy word. Don't ask me to spell it, but it's eschatology. And that's the events that lead up to the end. So we may question and debate the sequence of last day's events and the eternal destiny of all mankind. But as far as this fellowship is concerned, his second coming is indisputable. However, from last week's message, you'll be glad to know that we are in agreement on 4 points. Firstly, we're definitely in agreement that we are living in the last days. And even the writer to the Hebrews says, God has spoken to us in these last days through his Son Jesus. Secondly, Jesus came from heaven to earth. His conception inaugurated the last days. So we know that. Listen, and you need to listen to this carefully. Jesus came from heaven to earth, and his conception inaugurated the last days. Having returned from earth to heaven, Jesus sat at the Father's right hand. Then we read in Acts chapter 1, this same Jesus, the angels came and spoke to the disciples at the Mount of Olives, this same Jesus will return again from heaven to gather his people to himself. So everybody's clear? Okay. Did anyone pick up what was missing or left out in point 4? No. But like manner is the same. It's another version where it says, and he shall return in like manner, or this same Jesus. But listen again. So it says this. In the first part, it says, the last days, God has spoken through his Son. Point 2. Jesus came from heaven to earth. His conception inaugurated the last days. Having returned from earth to heaven. Jesus sat down at the Father's right hand. Point 4. This same Jesus will return again from heaven to... Will he? Why do you think I left that out? See, I intentionally omitted, I intentionally left out that Jesus will return from heaven to earth, simply because it is one of those controversial issues. And how you view the unfolding of the last days will be based on the particular Bible interpretation or the teaching that you have received. So if you go into different churches in this town, you will hear different interpretations about last days events and whether Jesus is going to return literally, physically, or whatever, spiritually to the earth or not to the earth. But let's see what the Bible says, because that's the best authority on the subject. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Very well-known passage again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's just after 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And reading from verse 13, Paul writes, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." That means those who have died. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, I hope you've got that this morning, but read it again when you get home. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13 to 18. Right, although I don't necessarily, and I have to stress this, although I don't necessarily agree with the following sequence of events, there are numerous denominations within the body of Christ which firmly believe that the last days and the subsequent return of Jesus will unfold in the following manner. Now, I have to emphasize, I need to take a neutral position at this time in this talk, to say to you, I don't necessarily agree with it. I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying I don't necessarily agree at this present time. I just want you to hear only one, because I haven't got time to go through the hundreds of different sequences of events that people think is going to happen before Jesus returns. But this is a general view. And you might be sitting this morning and think, well, actually, you know what, Terry? That's exactly what I believe. I find it hard to believe, but I do think some of you will say, yeah, I can see that. Okay. Although I don't necessarily agree with many believe, these are the events and how they will unfold for the return of Jesus. The Lord Jesus will return in a moment. In like that, in the blink of an eye, he will return in the sky and miraculously gather his people to himself. Okay, whenever it's going to happen, it will be so sudden, it will happen, it will take people by surprise, it will be instantaneous, in the blink of an eye, as quickly as you can blink your eye, Jesus will return. And he will gather his people to himself. Those believers who have died, and Paul talks about them, those who have fallen asleep, those believers who have died, they are with Jesus at this present time. So if you die as a Christian, you go in spirit, you go to be with the Lord, absent from the body, as Paul says, present with the Lord. There is no purgatory, load of oil Roman Catholic nonsense. There is no limbo, load of other oil Hindu nonsense. There is nothing like that. You go absent from the body, present with the Lord if you are a Christian. So if you die, you're there spiritually with the Lord. Those believers who have already died are with Jesus, and they shall return with him. In that moment in the sky, they will be there with him. Then believers who are alive on earth will immediately, instantaneously be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that's what people call the rapture. It will happen so suddenly, so quickly, in the blink of an eye, you will just instantaneously be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. All born again believers, that is those who are coming with Christ. And this is what Paul means when he says nobody's going to be ahead of anybody else. When he says nobody will precede the other or anything, he says in that instant, those who are coming with Jesus, who have died and are with him in spirit, those believers who are alive on the earth, in that moment will receive new resurrection bodies. Bodies that can never die. Bodies that can never know pain. Bodies that will never be marred by sin. Bodies that will never ever experience suffering again. In that moment, all born again believers will receive new resurrection bodies. Now remember, this is all happening in the blink of an eye. All believers, those who have returned with Christ, those who are alive and are caught up, and all who have been given these new resurrection bodies, all believers then go with Jesus into heaven to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So as a Christian, you will be judged. But you will not be judged for sin, because all of your sin has been dealt with. Christ paid the debt for your sin in full when he died on the cross. So you will not have to worry at the judgment seat of Christ about sin, because sin is dealt with once and for all. But when you go to the judgment seat of Christ, you will be rewarded for your services unto the Lord. For when you were serving the tea and coffee and fed up to the back teeth that nobody else was doing it and whatever else, but you faithfully did it, you will receive your reward. When you give a drink of water to someone in Jesus' name that nobody else was helping out, you will receive your reward. Everything that you have done for Jesus and to the glory of God, you will receive your reward. Now, while this event is going on up in heaven, this judgment seat of Christ is taking place in heaven, there is a great tribulation, a time of great tribulation that is taking place on the earth. And when the tribulation is almost complete, Jesus returns with his saints to establish his kingdom on earth. Now, at this point, as Jesus returns to the earth, at this point, Israel recognized that Jesus is the Messiah, and they repent and they put their trust in him, and he establishes his reign. Now, some believe this kingdom lasts for 1,000 years before there is a final rebellion by those who reject Jesus, which will see the Lord completely wipe out all of his enemies. And those who previously rejected Jesus, all who had died from way back at the start to the very last person, all who died without accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, will be raised again from the dead in new resurrection bodies. No one will stand before God in the day of judgment as a ghost. You will be given a new resurrection body. And in that moment, all who rejected Jesus will be raised from the dead and brought before the judgment seat of God. And they will be judged and cast into hell. And then a new heaven and a new earth will be the eternal abode of the Lord and all of his people. That's just one sequence of events leading up to the return of Jesus. That's just one sequence of events. Now you may think, there's things in there that, yeah, I totally agree with. There's things in there that, how incredibly sci-fi sounding is this? I mean, there's one channel, go through Sky TV. I don't know if you're still using it. I'm old school, I still use Sky TV. You're flicking through it and there's sci-fi. That is one channel I avoid because I hate science fiction. Absolutely, I don't watch anything to do with space. Don't watch anything to do with aliens and stupid stuff. I have enough sweetie mice in my head to have to put any of that nonsense into it. So when I'm reading this and listening to this, I think, how sci-fi, how science fiction sounding is this? I mean, doesn't it really sound, in all honesty, far-fetched? It really it just sounds, this is absolute nonsense. Jesus is going to return in a moment and all the dead people are going to be raised up and living people are suddenly going to disappear off the face of the planet and they're all going up to heaven for a knees up and get rewards and then they're coming back to live on the earth for 1,000 years and then the enemies of Christ are going to rise up and he's going to wipe them all out and then he's going to say, oh, we're going to get rid of this here and make a new heaven. Well, make the heavens and the earth new. How far-fetched does that sound? But then, who would have believed that God would become a man? Who would believe that God would become a baby and entrust himself into the hands of sinners, Mary and Joseph, to raise him up as a baby into childhood, into adolescence, up into adulthood? Who would have believed that God would become a man and allow himself to be crucified to pay the debt for sinners and to grant forgiveness of sins and everlasting life to all who would trust in him? Who would believe that there is forgiveness with God for sinners? The actual physical return of Jesus, sci-fi sounding or far-fetched, does really sound out of this world. But then I suppose it is. It is out of this world because Jesus, who once left heaven and came to earth, returned from earth to heaven, and promised to come again from heaven, that other world, to gather onto himself his people who are in the world but aren't of it, so that we can go to be with him in his world. So it really is out of this world. Hear that again. Because Jesus, who left heaven and came to earth, returned from earth to heaven and promised to come again from heaven, that other world, to gather onto himself his people who are in this world but aren't off it, so that we can go to be with him in his world. It's absolutely incredible. But did anyone else notice the major, and there is one major bone of contention with this last day's agenda? Did anybody pick it? It's so blatantly obvious. I think you are all going to fall for getting 666 tattooed in the back of your heads. The sequence of events that I've just read, whether you agree with it or not, and I'm not telling you whether I agree with it or not, but this sequence of events is really interesting. Because like most other views and ideas, and there are many, of how things will unfold, none of man's interpretations of the last days of eschatology can be taken as 100% gospel. Absolutely none. Doesn't matter if you think you have got it all right, there's going to be a flaw in it somewhere. And there is a major, major flaw in this sequence of events that we were saying, well, I like this one, yeah, this one suits me. And yet, you know, it suits me too to some degree. But in this sequence of last day's events, it lends itself to a third coming of Jesus. Now, did you pick up on that? Yeah. First coming, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. He grew up, he fulfilled his ministry and his mission by dying on the cross, being buried in the tomb, and rising again from the dead. And 40 days later, he says to the guys at the foot of the Mount of Olives, cheerio now, but I'm coming back. And off he goes up to heaven. The second coming of Jesus. Jesus leaves the Father's side and returns in the sky with those believers who have already died to gather the living believers from the earth to go back to heaven in lovely new resurrection bodies to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our reward. The third coming, after the judgment seat of Christ, after all of the rewards have been given out, of course I'm going to be coming back with Jesus in the third coming with a big sack full of all of my rewards. But after the judgment seat of Christ, when Christians receive their reward for the service of the Lord, or lack of it. And some also, just for your benefit, some also think this judgment seat of Christ, this period when Christians are supposedly in heaven receiving the reward, some also view that and call that the marriage supper of the Lamb. Once all of this is finished, and as the great tribulation, a terrible, terrible time is happening on the earth, as this great tribulation on earth is almost complete, Jesus returns with all his saints to establish his kingdom on earth. Do you see what I mean now? There's a third coming of Jesus. And the proponents of this notion, of this idea, they say, well, to get around this massive obstacle, to be able to sort of brush it under the carpet and leave a lump this size, they say, well, when Jesus comes in his second coming to gather the Christians to the judgment seat of Christ, it's a secret. It's a secret return of Jesus. Oh yeah? So you're walking down the street with your best friend who's a non-believer and you're caught up and disappear. That was a secret. I told you a story about my sister and the car insurance. Well, the same sister, she said one day, I'd always plagued her about Jesus and telling her Jesus is going to come back. And she was the one who said, well, hope not too soon because I've just taxed my car. And I kept telling her about the return of Jesus, the return of Jesus, the return of Jesus. And on one occasion she got up and she's decided she needed to speak to me about something. So she phoned up to the house. I was only five doors away from her at the time. Phoned up to the house. No answer. She says, that's a bit weird. He's usually in at this time. And then she's decided to phone another member of the family who was a Christian. No answer. Well, she starts to think, flip me. She says, what's going on here? Phone Auntie Elsie. Super Christian. Phone Auntie Elsie. You know, Auntie Elsie was a hardcore Christian. She was the brethren, hair in a bun and all that. Like, and if anybody was getting caught up in the rapture, it would be her. So she phones Auntie Elsie. No answer. And she starts thinking she's been left behind. And such a relief when eventually she saw one of us, you know. Like, oh, she thinks, she says, I thought you were all taken. I thought, I knew you'd have been left behind. I said, you're going to give your life to Jesus. Oh, no, not yet. How do you have a secret second coming of Jesus? I mean, even Jesus himself said, every eye will see him. Not every eye of believers. Every eye will see him. I just find it amazing. So, I don't believe there is any last days or second coming explanation or interpretation that is 100% correct. But many Christians and Christian denominations, they have a compendium of pretexts, of excuses that they use to try to demonstrate or to justify that their last day's sequence of events is the correct one. And I could give you another sequence of events that you would sit now and think, well, actually, I never thought about that, and that sounds far better. But as we get to the end, towards the end of this series, you'll get a wee bit more of my view. So what should Christians believe? Or better still, what does Shiloh Christian Fellowship believe about the last days and his second coming? Well, even though I would encourage all believers, and we say this all the time in Shiloh, I would encourage all believers to study God's word and to really enjoy learning about this momentous string of events. It's not something to get all wound up about and to get fearful about. It's something to get excited about and something to stir you up to love and good works. It's something to really get excited about at the thought of Jesus coming back. And of course we can all say, oh, but I've got loved ones that are not yet saved. But it should stir you up to pray for them even more. But even though I would encourage you all to study God's word and to enjoy learning about this incredible momentous string of events, you know, you can draw your mind maps about how you think it's going to be. You can create your end of days graphics. There's loads of them if you go onto Google. And you can get really excited about the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. But we can only advise that unless God himself makes clear, and 99.9% of people won't believe you, even if God did want make it clear. Unless God himself makes clear to us what way things will unfold, no one on planet Earth will be able to get everything in order to point to the return of Jesus. And we at Shiloh Christian Fellowship simply believe in his second coming, to gather his people unto himself, and so we shall be forever with the Lord. How does this come about isn't actually an important matter. What is important for both believer and unbeliever alike is this truth: Jesus is coming back again soon. Jesus is coming back again soon. So Christian, the multitude of teachings and interpretations on the second coming of Christ no doubt stir up interest and should inspire believers to get excited about the truth that one day soon we shall see Jesus face to face. Now that's something to get excited about. When you, even I don't know if you're like me, but if you, you know, are standing in here and you're worshipping the Lord, or you're at home and you're worshipping the Lord, and you really get that whole draw of seeing that fact in your mind's eye or with the eye of faith, one day you're going to see Jesus face to face. Do you not get excited? I do. And I know that I am a vile, filthy sinner. But I know that I am a vile, filthy sinner saved by grace. And I know that I'm not going to fear standing before Jesus because of sin. I remember saying to a person one time when they said to me, well, what are you going to say to Jesus? And I said, I'm going to say I'm sorry for my sin. And he said, you know what his answer is going to be? And I went, no. And he says, what sin? Because it's dealt with. But I get excited about one day seeing Jesus face to face. Don't get bogged down, Christian. Don't get bogged down trying to work it all out, trying to find the best solutions to the eschatological problems or the questions that are there. Because no matter what you learn, it won't be 100% accurate, because that is how God wants it. Just enjoy learning about this wonderful truth. Jesus is coming back for you. That is the truth. All of how it happens, I couldn't care less what way he comes. Doesn't bother me. I couldn't care if he comes up through the earth, coming in the skies, so long as he's coming back for me. That's what counts. And that is the reality for you. Jesus is coming back for you, for those who know him and who love him. How wonderful that is. You know, maybe there's someone watching this morning, listening this morning, someone here this morning, and you're not yet a Christian. Well, whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you believe in his second coming or not, God's word is clear. There is a day fixed when Jesus will return for those who've trusted in him. All others who've rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior will not be saved and shall never enter heaven. That is what God's word teaches. All others who have rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior will not be saved and shall never enter heaven. Today, therefore, is a God-given opportunity for you to prepare for this great event. It's going to happen. It's going to happen in spite of your unbelief. It's going to happen no matter what you might think. Jesus is coming back. And this is a God-given opportunity for you this morning to prepare for this great event. The Bible says, confess your sin. Agree with God that you are a sinner. Turn from your sin. Turn away from living your life your way. Turn away from the wickedness and the things that you know that are wrong. The things that your own conscience tells you are wrong. Turn away from those things and trust in Jesus alone to save you. Be in no doubt, his second coming is going to happen. And Jesus said these words, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Next week, God willing, we're going to look at, are there any signs that do point to the return of Jesus? Let's pray. Father, this morning we want to thank you for the wonderful, wonderful truth that one day soon Jesus is coming back to gather his people onto himself, and so we shall be forever with the Lord. And every Christian, Lord God, should surely be excited about that. The very thought of seeing Jesus face to face, how wonderful that will be. Lord, we ask, please, that until that day come, that you would continue, Lord God, to stir up this truth in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits, so that that, Lord, truth would stir us up to love and to good works, to build one another up, to strengthen and encourage one another as the day of the Lord draws near, to reach out to others, to pray for our loved ones, that you might save them, Lord, please. Lord, we know that we're never going to get it 100% accurate about how things will unfold, but that's the way you have made it be. But we just pray, Lord, please, that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing, Lord God, that one day the trump of God shall sound, and those who are dead shall return with Christ and receive new resurrection bodies. And in that same moment, in that same instant, those believers who are alive will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and will receive new resurrection bodies. Lord, help us, even though it sounds so science fiction based, even though it sounds, Lord God, hard to believe and out of this world, help us to remember it's what the Word of God says. And in this fellowship, we believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and therefore, we trust in your unfailing, unchanging Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.